You're listening to Radio Regent. This is Saturday Morning Live, and we now go to Diasporic Music, which is heard every Sunday, 2 to 4 on Uruhu Radio via Norman Otis Richmond, aka Jalali, and he is interviewing Paul Mooney, who is going to be here in Toronto February 22nd at the Bloor Cinema.
Uhuru, you are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhura Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, speaking to you from the not-so-great White North here in Toronto, Canada. And joining me on the line from Oakland, California, is Mr. Paul Mooney, who is coming to Toronto, Canada on February the 22nd. He's going to be playing at the Bloor Cinema at 506 Bloor Street here in Toronto, Canada. And this is, he's presented by a group called Stolen from Africa. And he is, the tour is entitled Out of Darkness, The Last Stand. Mr. Paul Mooney, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, good. So you were here in 1992. I saw you at the club in 1992, and we actually did an interview, but you talked to so many people, you wouldn't remember that.
What?
I said you wouldn't,
I wouldn't remember 1992? What's wrong with you?
Now,
why would I remember 1992?
You wouldn't remember the fact that you spoke with me in 1992. I know you would remember 1992.
I remember speaking to you.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Of course I do.
All right.
You're the one that thinks, you don't think you're black. I remember you.
Oh, no, I know I'm black. I was born in the same place you were born, in Louisiana. And
I had to tell you that. I remember that. You didn't think that you were. No, you're trying to clean it up now for your audience. But I remember you because you had a strange name.
I had a strange name?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What black person would name their child your name? What's your name?
Norman.
Yeah, Norman. Come on.
Earl Richmond.
Yeah, that's a weird name.
Somebody
in your family must have been watching that horror movie, Norman Bates.
You were born in the city, so you know you were born in Shreveport. I was born in the woods in Bienville Parish, so you were born in Shreveport, Louisiana. So
you were born in the woods.
In Arcadia, Louisiana. Louisiana, that's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And you were born in the city, probably born in a hospital. I was born with a midwife. You know,
I wasn't born in a hospital. What makes you think that? I was born in a house.
So was I. So that's why we're so brilliant then. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was born in a house. What made you say I was born in a hospital?
You were born in Shreveport. Shreveport.
Yeah, but what white person you've been talking to? Who's white that you're married to? Or somebody half white? Black people don't like hospitals. Don't you know that? Do you have a grandmother? Do you have relatives?
My grandmother was born in Mississippi. Yeah.
No, they don't like Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Well, everybody was born in Mississippi, but black people don't like hospitals. Older ones from back in the day.
Oh, no, I agree.
No, because they were terrified of hospitals. Because they would go in the hospital to get their toes clipped and come back and have no legs.
That's right. No, I agree.
And that's real. That's no joke. But anyway, okay, what else? What date? Say the dates again.
February the 22nd, and you're going to be at the Bloor Cinema. We had a good relationship with the Bloor Cinema. We actually showed The Murder of Fred Hampton at the Bloor Cinema. The Bloor Cinema has a new ownership, but it is a beautiful spot, and it's a historical spot, and I'm certain that you're going to bring the house down. Am I correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I made it that way. They didn't even know that until I came there. They weren't even aware of that, not really. You know, me coming there because I've been doing this for so long, you know, and so... me being there made it that, you know.
But let me ask you this: Why is this your last professional tour? You're not going to be performing after this?
Who told you that?
You said it's a last stand tour. He didn't tell you how long the last stand would last.
That's so funny. Where are you getting your information from? I like it because it causes controversy, so it's good. Misinformation always causes controversy.
I'm a victim of the Los Angeles public school system, so maybe that's the problem.
Are you really?
Yes, sir.
What'd they do to you?
The Los Angeles public school system? Well, they they didn't do anything to me. I had to, basically I had to educate myself on political stuff.
Oh, but you mean when you went to school?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, your parents probably were educated, so someone in your family probably taught you at home.
They went to high school and, they worked hard.
I'm talking before 9/11. I'm not talking after 9/11, everything changed. I'm talking before 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
When everything was John Wayne and the Marlboro Man.
You're right about that. You're right about that.
Yeah. And Superman.
Did you ever perform, Richard Pryor spent a lot of time in Toronto. Did you ever spend any time in Toronto before you came here in 1992?
Yeah, of course. Richard and I traveled all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now,
Canada. Actually, I came out of Canada. I used to live in Canada. I came out of Canada.
What part of Canada were you living in?
Hold on a minute. I'm talking to my aunt. Okay. All right, honey. All right. Okay. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you're listening to Diasporic Music on Uhura Radio, and I'm on the line with Paul Mooney.
I used to live in Canada. I came out of Canada.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were you in Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver?
All over.
Oh, all over. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know you did some work with Jane Fonda. I've seen, there's a film I saw with you.
Oh, the FTA.
Yeah. And you did a lot of anti-war work. You were
back in the day. Yeah.
A lot of political, political stands a lot. I mean, you were way...
when it wasn't popular.
Right.
This is during a time, where America was a victim of itself. It was like, no one dare said what their race was or what they were mixed with, or that was during the time when they would say that their grandmother was their maid.
French, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and all that stuff. Yeah, they were like, that was crazy time. That's when everything was vanilla, and that's when white folks was truly running everything,
mm-hmm.
And so it was like very scary. I mean, you couldn't tell nobody where you were from. And that's during the time, because, most Americans are basic anyway. That was that was time when... you couldn't say you were Armenian because people didn't know what that was. That was like speaking a foreign language.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Armenian. I mean, all Americans knew were Mexican. That's all they knew. So it was some crazy times.
Let me ask you a question. How long did you live in Louisiana? When you came to Northern California, how old were you?
Louisiana, probably somewhere between 2 and 5.
Oh, yeah, okay. Now, January the 17th, 1969, Al Prentice Bunchy Carter, who was the Deputy Minister of Defense from Los Angeles, he got killed at UCLA. He was born in Shreveport, Louisiana, and also Masai Hewitt, who was the Minister of Information. He was also from Los Angeles, but he also was born in Shreveport, Louisiana. Shreveport, Louisiana, could you talk about,
So was a lot of people.
I wanted to get, could you talk about that, some of the people that came out of there, women as well as men?
I think Oprah. A bunch of them. I know for sure that man that used to, the Motown man, what's his name?
Gordy.
Gordy, there, eh?
Come out of Louisiana?
Yeah.
Okay.
There, Gordy. Or Mississippi, anyway, it's all the same. And, because Mississippi just said that so it could get the money,
Uh-huh.
Mississippi actually did that so it could have all the money. So it could be separate. Because I think, before it actually became America, Mississippi used to be America. No, back in the day.
Well, the Haitian Revolution,
before,
they had the same.
Before we actually had a president.
Yeah, okay. I got you.
That's why you hear white folks, when they really want something, they all say, "By George." You know that. By George. Yeah.
Right.
George Washington, because George Washington owned slaves. They all owned slaves. It was, slaves were the big deal. The Pope, everybody had slaves.
Yeah, J.E. Rogers wrote about George Washington selling slaves. He had a big deal with Barbados. Yeah, oh yeah. George Washington was legendary.
Abraham Lincoln, everybody. And there was actually some black man. I'll have to, because it is early for me here. I just woke up, but I'm waking up. That actually they taught him as a joke. The white men all got together, and those Masons and Muslims, and to teach him to be a slave owner so they could say, you know, not only we're white, we own slaves, but black people own them too. And he was better at it than them. So it sort of pissed them off, and they, I think they ended up lynching him. Because he was better at it than they were.
Are you coming out with any more albums? I'm looking forward to. I have Race, and I have, Masterpiece, but I was really looking forward to some new. A new CD, is that going to happen?
Good. You don't have the King of Comedy?
Which one?
Not the old one, but the one about me.
No, sir.
The real King.
No, I don't have it. No, I don't have that one.
Yeah. Well, it's out there. You can get it.
Okay.
You're so friendly with Sean. Sean will get it for you.
Well, I'll tell you what, Norman, they can go to MoonyWorld.net. They're going to be able to get a lot of Paul stuff. They'll be able to get merchandising dealing with his scarves. They're going to be able to get merchandising, collector's items, collectibles, memorabilia at MoonyWorld.net. And we're going to be able to have some when we come there at the Bloor Theater that people can purchase that are collector's items that they can take pictures with. Maybe if they act right, pay the right price, they'll get autographs. With it, with Mr. Mooney, the Godfather, the comic genius, the real king.
The real king, all right. what do you think about the state of comedy today? And is there anyone coming up, male or female, black, that has is doing any political consciousness as well? Because I know. Well, are there anybody that are following in your footsteps from a political perspective?
No, no one's following in my footsteps, no. How can they follow me?
No, I mean, when
my
I say
footsteps.
Follow you, that's a bad word.
No,
but
you
mean
trying to know.
That
no,
are influenced
no,
by you and politically,
no,
right?
No, all my peers are dead. And the only one that's left really is Dick Gregory, and he's got one foot on a banana. So, you know, with his old butt. So that's it.
Well, what about your son?
And all the rest of them are gone. Huh?
The Mooney twins, your two sons, how are their careers when it comes to doing their comedy?
Those evil twins of mine?
Yes.
Their careers are fine. I guess they do conscious comedy. That's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The twins, they're trying to do what they do. They do what they do. So you know, they're like their real father, Dick Gregory. You know, they sell those drinks.
Their real father.
Yeah, that's Richard Pryor used to kill me all the time. He said those niggas will always talk about they drinking them juices. Them niggas got chicken hidden in their lapel. That's the niggas, they don't give up no barbecue and no fried chicken. They fooling themselves.
The real father.
Yeah, but I've always wanted to, I used to, when I used to grow up, I used to call myself a sit-down comedian, and I saw you in Toronto, and I saw Richard Pryor in Hollywood, and I saw Mr. Fox at the Adams West in Los Angeles, and I remember when the last time I saw you, you were always saying that your favorite joke, or one of your favorite jokes by Richard, not Richard, but Red Fox, was this: if you see me with a white woman, I'm holding her for the police.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Red Fox was very funny. He was very funny, off stage and on. And actually funnier off stage than on. And he was funny on stage, but he was even funnier off stage. Red Fox used to call me from places and tell me to write him a joke. Or he'd call me on stage, the audience, to tell me to give him a joke. Or he'd call and tell me to make him laugh, that he was very depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when you're on those drugs, those drugs are a trip, you know. And so, some deep stuff. So, I mean, we have to really try to get out there and roll up our sleeves and work with our kids, because if we don't raise them, somebody else will, and try to keep them from the drugs and alcohol and all that craziness. Because back in the day, it wasn't like that. But now, you know, the minute we said black power, and the minute James Brown said, I don't need nobody, just open up the door and I can get it myself, that's when all the problems started.
Now, you as a Paul Mooney...
When we started verbalizing. Go ahead, what'd you say?
I said, Paul Mooney, as an individual, you never had the drug problem like Richard Pryor. You were always lean, clean in terms of drinking and smoking, right?
I never had a problem with any of that, no.
Right.
And, you know, thank you, Jesus. And it's, you know, with my God and with Jesus, it's not me, it's from up above. I was blessed, you know, that's a blessing. Because it is very scary, because drugs and alcohol and all that, it doesn't discriminate. I mean, you see somebody out there, I mean, you know what I'm saying, 91 out there doing the crack shuffle, you know, so it's some scary stuff.
Very scary.
Hey, Norman, just wondering, Mr. Sean piping in, which venue that you keep referring to that Paul was at? What was the name of it again?
The theater that you guys are coming to?
No, the venue you keep mentioning.
The Bluer Cinema. It's what they do now is it's a new ownership, and it's the headquarters for documentaries. They just show the beautiful film, 20 Steps from Freedom, Darlene Love and her sister, Edna Wright, and all the background singers. I saw that there. That's the last film I saw.
Yeah, but all that stuff is owned by the same people. It's like when they start talking about that, about South Africa, about the new South Africa and all this crap. It's just those white folks just didn't got old. It's the same people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They just change it, and, you know, it's Taco Bell and McDonald's. It's all owned by the same people.
But the Bluer Cinema in the beginning was owned by a group of Italians who sold it to a corporate group that's about, they're corporate, supposedly, it's a corporate folks, yes. So.
Well, they don't have the mafia. That's that old Vegas move. Yeah, to make you think that somebody else owns it. They own it. Why am I going to give you my gold? I'm not giving you my gold. Mm-hmm. Why would I give you $10,000 for your house, Negro, unless it's worth 50 times that much?
Oh, you're not going to get an argument from me. But
yeah, that's it. You or anybody else. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My point that I'm making.
No, I understand.
My case. It's not going to work.
Hey, Norman, you got a pretty interesting mayor out there, huh?
Oh, you mean Mr. Ford? Oh, he's very, very interesting. He's I was telling people, I said, I wonder when Paul Mooney's going to do some he's giving Paul Mooney a lot of material, and I haven't heard Paul Mooney in a while, so I imagine Ford is definitely nothing but a character of comedy. No, he's a funny guy. He's a funny. He's worth $100 million, his family. He's the youngest kid, youngest of the family, and he's a kind of a spoiled brat, you know. So
he's worth a lot more than that. Trust me when I tell you, he's worth a lot more than that. He's worth trillions of dollars. His family is very, I mean, he's very good with numbers, too. They've invested that money. I mean, they got so much money, you, believe me when I tell you, you can't even count it. Believe me. They've got connections everywhere, all the way up to the White House. We don't even want to get into that. Hold on for a minute. I think you're bringing it through.
You're listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, speaking to you from Toronto, Canada. And we're on the line with Paul Mooney, and we have about 2 or 3 minutes left. And Mr. Mooney was taking a break, and are you back, Mr. Mooney?
Huh?
Yes. I said, are you back? You said to hold on.
Yeah, I'm here, but they're just bringing in the doctor's food and medicine, so I'm...
Okay, so let us close the interview. I will thank you, and I really appreciate
you. I'll thank you, and you stay with him. He'll give you the dates and stuff, okay, Ruby? Hello?
All right.
Okay.
Is this Sean coming back?
Sean. Okay, so take care.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mooney.
All right, thank you.
All right. Sean, you have Rob Ford is a character. I'm on his mailing list, you know. He's trying to woo me. Not as an individual, but I mean, he's got a lot of support, though.
Yeah, well, you know, Marion Barry won a second term when I was back east at University of Maryland. You remember the Marion Barry scandal?
Yes, sir.
And, you know, people choose champions.
Yep, that's right. Is there anything you would like to add?
We're looking forward to coming out there, and the reason I was asking you about the venue that you said you had seen Paul at was because he's coming to Toronto, and to my understanding, it'd be the first time they're at the Bloor.
It is, right.
Yeah, okay, so I just wanted to get that clear. So Toronto needs to get ready to receive him. He's been all over so many places. You know, the pinpoint. This is the first time there in at the Bloor in Toronto. So what we need to do is get everybody out, get tickets, come on out. We're gonna have a blast. He's got a boatload of material that you never heard. You had inquired about whether or not we had or he had other things that you could purchase other than the ones you already had. You're gonna have a boatload of stuff there. So we're excited of collaborating Black Repertory Group in conjunction with the people that are bringing in their Stolen from Africa, Alana Lowe, and all the folks over there, Logic, the executive director. We're really excited about it, and we hope to see everybody out there. We're going to have a ball. We got to have a real ball.
So I'm looking forward to meeting you then, my friend.
Yeah, likewise. And in reference to, you'll hear from Stolen from Africa, there's a comedy call. Paul's doing that as he's going into every city on the tour. There's opportunity for comics that are there looking for the people to carry the torch that gets passed in his search in every city that he stops. He actually has a comedy call, and folks get to come in the day before at an undisclosed location. And they also get to submit online so that they may themselves come under the tutelage of, I guess that's Yoda, if you would look at a Star Trek character. And, you know, looking for a young Skywalker. So we're excited about the stuff that's happening. Stay in tune with stolenfromafrica.org, I believe.
Yes.
You're also going to see blackrepertorygroup.com. And
stolenfromafrica.org, but we've run out of time, my brother, so I really appreciate it.
Okay, looking forward to it.
All right, thank you. And right. I would like to thank Lisa Watson. for teching today, and we will be back next week.